The Perth Football Podcast is proudly brought to you by Macron Store Perth, an industry leader in quality teamwear specialising in grassroots, semi-pro and professional team attire. Visit the Macron Sports Hub Perth Facebook page for more. Thank you to Macron for helping us keep the pod running and for their continuous involvement in community sport.
Welcome back. What are these lovely holes I find myself in once again, Kalichi? It's our lovely listeners' ear holes, and there's nowhere else I'd rather be. I am back. The Perth Football Podcast is back. Week one. I have been away during the preseason, Kalichi. Had a little baby. So I've been preoccupied, but I've managed to steal myself away for half an hour. I am Sean Fry, your host for the Perth Football Podcast. It's so great to be back, as I just mentioned. We are joined by Kalichi Osunwa. Kalichi, how are you?
I am terrific, mate. All the better for seeing you. Welcome back. Seeing your little daughter yesterday as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic to have you out here. And Kalichi, for those of you that don't know, is well-versed in just all manner of etiquette, does the right things. And he came over with some wet wipes, about six frozen meals and a bunch of snacks. So I didn't have to just throw another bouquet of flowers into the corner. So a little tip for anyone, if you're going to visit someone that's just had a baby, don't bring them flowers. They don't want them. They'll have too many. They go straight in the bin. Tommy Dolman is here as well. How are you, Tommy?
I'm good, thanks, Sean. And many congratulations to you on your new arrival.
Thank you very much, mate. And rounding off the quartet in the bottom corner there, Josh Chiat. How are you, Josh?
I'm good. How hard did you need to fight to not call the child Jürgen?
Yeah, look, Alison was up there for a girl. You're going to call her Alison Becker Fry. Many names. Muhammad, obviously, was up there, but
it's a bit too common.
Too common. We wanted something a bit different. So we went with Winter, so a little Winter Fry. You'll probably see her out with me at a few games this season. I think my debut will probably be in a couple of weeks at Armidale. But we have just had the first week, guys, of the men's NPL. And before we dive into all the action, we've got to talk about our Macron moments of the week. Kalichi Osunwa, do you have a Macron moment of the week?
I've already mentioned it in the full-time whistle, but I'll mention it again. It was Alex De Rocker's yellow card against his old team, actually, Perth SC. He had a really robust challenge on him by another taller person. I want to say it was Harley Orr, who's around 6'1", 6'2". Alex De Rocker is probably 5'0", and he didn't like the tackle, so he gets up, chases him down, hacks the player down from behind, gets the yellow card, stands up and squares down the opposition. And I thought, yep, that's exactly the type of footballer that I want to have in my team. So Alex Zorka got my Macron moment of the week.
Tommy, what's yours?
Well, Sean, my Macron moment of the week, it could have been last night when Leeds beat Millwall 2-0 and went top of the championship finally after a long-awaited run trying to catch Leicester. But I'll default back to the MPLWA and I'll say Alex McLean's equaliser in the 2-2 draw between Balcatta and Fremantle. Obviously, Connor Campbell was off his line, but there was still two backpedalling Balcatta defenders to try and loop that volley in over from the edge of the area. So a really nicely executed goal from Alex and a good point from Fremantle City on the road to start the season, which we'll talk about a little bit more shortly.
We absolutely will. And I'm going to stay away from world football as a Liverpool fan for obvious reasons. So we'll just throw straight to Josh and get your moment of the week, mate.
If I was going to give it to an individual moment, Sammy Dway's equaliser for Bayswater against Armadale. There's all sorts of crazy things going on in that game. I know we'll talk about it later, but I don't think anybody had a top corner volley from Jackson Stevens on their bingo card for round one either. But if I'm going to, more holistically, I think I'm going to give it to the very rare clean sheet that we got from the Perth Glory against Inglewood United. I spoke about it a bit on the full-time whistle, but, it was an interesting game in the sense that it was a very uninteresting game. We don't get a lot of those from the Perth Glory under-21s team.
No, there's been rumblings that they want to get a bit more control in these games. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Obviously, as you said, we did talk about it on the full-time whistle. My... Macron moment of the week is Joe Knowles.
Here comes the money. Here we go. Money talk.
Here comes the money.
Scoring goals and, making it rain, as they say. I don't know whether he was alluding to the fact that the boys were out to a strip club to celebrate. I don't know what that was about, but we'll talk about that later. That's a little teaser. That's coming up next. We're going to start with Perth Red Star 0 at the campus. Floriat Athena 2. Who had this one coming? I know none of you did because I was too occupied to get any tips in this week. But I think between you, between the three of you, what did you get? Three or four right this week? Absolutely unbelievable. Noah Shimaki opened the scoring just before half time. And then Ethan Mom squared it for Christodoulakis to ice it with 10 minutes left. And I think Sonny O'Shea hit the post late on, but it was never going to be enough. And Tommy, you wanted to chat about the change in shape, a bit of a restructuring from Vass's side. Going with three at the back. Always good to see a bit of steel in a back three. Steel. Chris Soldaris and Mohammed with, I think it was McManus and Christodoulakis wingbacks either side. How did that play out, Tommy?
Well, it played out very well. And that was the thing that I noticed anyway, or at least I thought I noticed anyway. I was really impressed with Floriat's grit and their determination and their execution of a game plan. They were able to really sort of block up that space for Red Stars runners to really break into. And a big part of that was also Cherno Bar, who I thought was sensational on the day and probably the best player on the pitch for mine. But what they were able to do by sort of really getting in at Red Stars' faces and frustrating them was they were able to limit the supply to Daryl Nicol. And I think he only really had one chance for the whole afternoon, which was one of those ones where it sort of pulled back into the penalty area. Nicol was leaning back slightly and he sort of scooped it over the bar pretty uncharacteristically. But for the most part, the supply was cut down. And Red Star, albeit they did have a few shots on goal, they only really had one on target. So I suppose it was an off day from a Red Star perspective. It reminded me a little bit of last season in the NPL Women's where Red Star lost by 2-0 against Hyundai NTC. And NTC really went up and did a job on them on that opening day. Obviously, Red Star were able to then recover and go on and win the league. So I think there's no reason why we couldn't expect that from Red Star's men in terms of a repetition for what the women did last season. And it was very much an off day on their part. But I think we have to give a lot of credit to Floriat for the change that they did make, the energy that they did bring, and the point that they probably had to prove, having heard us on the podcast last week. So, yeah, big respect to Floriat. I think the other thing just to quickly mention as well is we forget the amount of experience that they still have in that team. We know they lost Dennis Gallen. We know they lost Andrew Palmer, a few others as well. But Chris Saldaris hardly played at all last season due to injury. Jason Saldaris was missing the business end of the season as well. As he was away, he's back in between the sticks now as well. And obviously we know that Nick Ambrogio is a classy operator and they have been gradually bringing these young players in. So your likes of Mohammed Al-Zaidi, your likes of Ethan Mom and these guys have been getting some minutes off the bench throughout. And yeah, they were able to step it up and very impressive from Floriat.
Now, Kalicha, you you might have had a little bit of a whisper from Noah Shimaki that he had thought he had Dennis Gallen's number for pace. On the opening goal, you noticed I couldn't tell which centre half.
I couldn't tell either. Wasn't
high enough which one it was, but one of the centre halves was standing there with their hand up in the air, wanting the offside flag, and ended up being absolutely nowhere near Noah Shimaki as he tracked back. And even if it wasn't Dennis Gallen, he probably should have been in a better position on the other side to try and cover. But great goal from Noah. Great way to start the season. And Josh, I'll ask you what you think this result means. Is it say more about Red Star or Athena, or is it just round one? You just get these sometimes.
Well, I think we were guilty in our tipping of a little bit of recency bias as we did float on the. Wait a minute. You had Floriat at the exact same place that I did, Kalichi.
I did, but when you say recency bias, I didn't have like the overall outcome for Red Star. But continue your point, and then I'll come in there and say something even better.
Well, you still had them in second. So the again with round.
Wait, are you saying that they're not going to win the league? Are you changing it? Are you calling them frauds now, Josh? Is that what you're saying?
What am I saying, that they're not going to win the league now? No, well,
we've lost him. He's frozen up on us.
He's back.
Yeah, am I back?
What do we do with these sort of things? It's really weird.
It's kind of like being a ghost, because you can actually hear your, when I was frozen, I can actually hear you guys talking about me in the background.
But so yeah, are you calling them frauds now, Josh?
I'm not calling them frauds. When did I ever call them frauds? It was our shitty tipping.
I'll call them frauds. I'm happy to call them frauds.
I was basically just going to say, I mean, it's either way, whether it was Dennis Gallen or whether it may have been Finney. I just finished bigging up Finney and saying he's one of the best defenders in the league as well. And the best part was Noah said to me before, he said, like, nah, I'm fine against those guys. I reckon I can roll one of them and get him behind. And I was like, well, I'm there. And to be fair to Shamaki, last year was a really tough year for him. He worked through a lot of injuries, and he had the birth of his first child as well. So it just kind of destabilizes you. So I'm sure he's had a full-on preseason. He's had a bit more time to play and a bit more time to recover. So it's good to see him on the score sheet as well.
He was kind of like their big re-signing / signing last summer as well, wasn't he? So
yeah,
and they didn't get the benefit from that, and where they ended up on the ladder probably partly reflected that, and obviously the fact that they had Bob Petkov injured for a lot of last season as well. They didn't actually have much up top aside from the occasional Bailey stunner.
And before we go to you, Tommy, like that side has been written off by not just us, but also other teams and players. I went around and I asked a bunch of players and teams, well, who do you think will finish last? And a few of them said, well, look, we played these guys 2 weeks ago and we smashed them in a behind closed door game. Or we played them last week and we talked them as well. So I reckon they're in trouble. And the fact that they've sat down, made some changes and won is a terrific showing of them and their pride. And it just goes to show you how tough this league is. Like 3 points is huge in this league. And the fact that they've gone to the league, to the home of the champions, and gone those 3 points is a huge step for them. So kudos to them.
Final thoughts on Red Star Athena before we move on, Tommy?
No, that's everything from me. Sorry, Kalich, you kind of stole my point.
All right. Yeah, he'll do that, mate. You give him an inch and he'll take a mile. We do move on to another seismic performance. Tommy, yeah, I think in your report on the website, you said there were shockwaves from the Red Star Athena result throughout the NPL. I think this next match sent just as many shockwaves. It was Stirling Macedonia 0-0 nada, Kingsway Olympic 3-3. What a result for Kingsway, coming off the back of a Stirling post during the week that said, doesn't matter how much money Kingsway have spent, we're going to go and stick it up them anyway, or something, words to that effect. And Josh Sampson, this one's for our mate, the old man that yells at the clouds, David Cantoni. I'm going to describe it as Josh Sampson camping out in front of the net like an ice hockey player running tip drills when Liam Boland struck, and he just deflected it into the back of the net. And then Aaron Williams, a bit of a flappy hands moment from the Stirling keeper. Maybe one that we wouldn't have seen.
He
from
didn't
James
even have
Costa.
To jump, Williams.
Another great celebration, though. Aaron Williams running off, clicking his heels like Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz. But it wasn't the best celebration of the game, because Joe Knowles wrapped it up from the spot, and Kalichi, he made it rain.
Must be the Monday. It was terrific, especially like the trolling is what I absolutely love about this, right? On one hand, if you're Stirling and you say something like this from an official club account, I might add, if you say something like this, then you kind of have to back it up. But then if you lose, it just opens up the floodgates to anyone to be able to say exactly what they want. And you've kind of just got to take it on the chin. The best part is, not only did he do the must be the money celebration, they also played tracks referring to money during the game. And I just love it. I love it when we can get that petty. And again, this is also like old country rivalry as well. So I love every single aspect of this.
Not only did they play money music, but they played Shane McMahon's entry music that I'm pretty sure they ripped off of our On the Line segment here at the Perth Football Podcast. It was fantastic. And Tommy, huge, huge statement in round one, isn't it, for Olympic Kingsway? Kelechi's got them for the title. They're going to be right up there, aren't they?
Absolutely. We've said this a million times, but they had a lot of very good pieces in that team last season, and really it was just a matter of depth in potentially attacking areas that was going to be the difference. And we saw that in full force, albeit three goals that aren't going to be the most breathtaking goals that Olympic Kingsway scored this season, without a doubt, for the reasons you described, Sean. But I think to go to the home of one of your prospective top four and title rivals and to go on to go in there and put in a big performance like they did, I think really says something. They met in round one last season, actually, these two teams, and Stirling got them by 2-1 that night. But I thought Kingsway were pretty good, and they did have a number of players out sick that night. So they did have injuries, and I think sort of bubbling away, there was a little bit of a point to prove that we're going to come to your home ground, a repeat of last season's fixture, and we're going to really sort of put in a showing that's going to really underline our credentials of what we want to achieve this season. So, yeah, very exciting times for the Green Machine up there. I'm heading up there in a couple of weeks to do their game against Fremantle City, so I can't wait to see them in the flesh. And, yeah, as Kelechi has rightfully predicted, they're going to be a real force this season, without a doubt.
Well, you mentioned the fact that the Kingsway going away to Stirling and getting that big result. It was obviously one of my key things I was keeping an eye on last season, where I was actually thinking that the away teams, they ended up having a better record than the home teams in the NPL. And so far, Athena winning away, Kingsway winning away. What, for whatever reason, it seems to be better to be travelling in the NPL. One team that did not win away from home were Perth Soccer Club. They were out at Western Knights. A bit of that will be on the full-time whistle. So Kelechi's putting all of these up for everyone to listen to. So go fill your boots for the first couple of weeks. I'm not sure when we're going to put it back on the Patreon paywall. While that's free, check it out. If it's the sort of thing you'd like, jump onto the Patreon and subscribe. It's about a coffee a month or something. I can't remember exactly. How much is it, Kelechi?
It is a topped up long Mac with oat milk price in the city centre, so it's about $6.
Okay. It's in city centre now, not CBD.
CBD, yeah, I mean, city centre.
That's a good price for one of your fancy coffees, Kelechi. So if you want to hear a bit more about the Knights 1, Perth Soccer Club 0, pretty poor defending from a corner 4 minutes in, and it was a Banks own goal off the back post, I think came off his shoulder maybe. It was a bit hard to see on the video, but yeah, big win.
If only we had some sort of commentator at that game to tell us exactly who it came off, potentially stuff like that.
Mate, I'm busy at the moment. I've already explained that.
Sorry, Kelechi.
But yeah, took them 4 minutes to open their account back in the big time. So that's huge for Knights. Big win. Balcata Frio will turn to next. We mentioned Connor Campbell and his couple of goalkeeping gaffes. Maybe not such a gaffe for the second one, but the first one wasn't great. Came charging out in the opening couple of minutes, and Oli Legalia, you never want to see your goalkeeper come out and jump for a ball with the striker and the striker get their head on the ball before you get their fist on it. Do you, Josh? I don't know if you saw it, but it wasn't great keeping.
That's, it's sort of thing that's probably happened to me before, but
why is anyone putting you in goals?
I used to play Amateur Premier League as a goalkeeper. Outrageous. A few years ago.
Outrageous.
I don't know whose idea it was to put me there though.
So Liam Miller equalised that later after, if I said Connor Campbell's goalkeeping wasn't great, the defending,
my gosh,
the equaliser was absolutely atrocious. The defender just standing off, had about three chances to put his foot through it, but just hesitated. And then that wasn't all the scoring in the first half. Ben Hinshelwood put him ahead, and then Alec McLean salvaged a point for City late on. The one you mentioned, Tommy, is your macro moment of the week, chipping Campbell into the back of the net. What were your thoughts on this one, mate?
Oh, Hinshelwood's goal just quietly was an absolute rocket as well. That is a clean strike. And this is a guy with a lot of potential as well. He came through as a youngster at ECU when they were known as that back then. He then went to Quins and scored over 20 goals in the State League under Glenn Gross State in Division 2. It was in Division 1, my apologies. But he's a guy who knows where the back of the net is. He obviously followed Glenn over to Balcatta. And again, he was sort of in and out last season with injury as well. So in terms of that focal point for a Balcatta team who are obviously looking to replace the goals of Kotaro Yamamoto, I think it's good news for them that Hinshawood and Miller have been able to get off the mark quickly and Balcatta have been able to put a couple in the back of the net.
So final score there, Balcatta 2, Fremantle City 2. That wraps us up for part one. We'll be back to talk a bit of Armidale Bayswater and Inglewood Glory and then wrap things up after we speak with Aaron from Peak Performance, one of our fantastic new sponsors, who Kalichi will be sorting out a microphone for me over the coming weeks. Apologies if my audio isn't quite at the level we expect it to be. But
it's better than Josh's last week at the start.
And at least my head's in the middle of the screen, Josh. You figured that out this week, which is fantastic. We'll be back with more after this. And before we jump back into part two and the rest of the NPL action this weekend, we have got Aaron from Peak Performance. Aaron Gregory, thank you for joining us.
Hey, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're on with Tommy, Josh and Kalichi. So hello, gentlemen.
Hello gentlemen.
How you doing?
He's a pedantic one, that Kalichi. Now, Aaron, you are here. We're going to talk with someone from Peak Performance most weeks about a different topic, and we're absolutely delighted that you guys have jumped on board with the Perth Football Podcast. So, yeah, thank you for taking your time out of you might not know, but I've just had a kid, and I was going to try and say what night it was, and I forgot, but I think it is Monday night. Am I right?
It is Monday night.
There we go. All right. Thank you for joining us on a Monday night, Aaron. And you're here to talk to us about the importance of footwear across all levels of sport. And, I guess I'll throw it over to you to tell us why it's so important.
Okay. Thanks. So I'm a sports podiatrist. So obviously everything to do with feet, people come to see me for a whole heap of different conditions and I suppose for your listeners, football boots is probably the most relevant. And we've got, you know, lots of different considerations when it comes to football boots. I think the first and foremost is people generally are trying to figure out, okay, well, do I need a soccer? Well, I don't know if that's a bad word on this podcast, but
we'll accept it.
You'll take it. It's okay. So, you know, an athlete or a football athlete might be playing in an AFL boot or a soccer boot. So there's a few different features, I suppose, which maybe at the top level does really make a difference. And I think people tend to have a personal preference when it comes to that as well. When we're talking about footwear, first and foremost, the shape of your foot, you know, that's a pretty standard consideration, but people tend to overlook it, you know. So if you have a wide foot versus a narrow, just getting the right fit from that perspective. And we're not even talking about, you know, if you've got lumps and bumps various places, like on your Achilles, if you've got something called a Haglund's, you know, a little spur on the back of your Achilles, that can make football boots super uncomfortable if you get the wrong type of boot. So these are all, you know, just some initial thoughts around, okay, well, what do I need to look at? Versus people might already have some brand loyalty to, I know, Nike and Adidas. You know, some people just weren't even entertaining the thought of looking at something like an ASICS football boot or Mizuno. But it's pleasing to see, you know, in the general landscape of things that the options out there are getting much better. And we touched on, you know, some things around, or talking about maybe women's football boots a bit later on, but It's nice to know that there are some options for the females out there.
Do you have a preferred brand there, Aaron? I know when you say Adidas and Nike, you sort of seem like they may not be the best bang for your buck in terms of the best quality boot.
Look, I think, being a basketball man myself, I definitely do have some brand loyalty to some degree, but, you know, for a certain condition, for a certain injury, you know, and I think an athlete that at the end of the day wants to perform, they'll overlook, you know, if there's got a tick or three stripes on the side of the boot, and they'll favour that because it's comfortable, because it works for them, because it improves their performance, you know. We can get really into the nitty-gritty of, different, types of studs as well. I don't know if that sort of goes beyond the scope, but that that's certainly something to look at. And I think an important one for your listeners, if they're probably now pre-season coming into the start of the season, if they're trying to choose a boot, and the turf can really differ throughout the year, as I'm sure you guys probably know from experience.
So aside from the usual that I think about or thought about when I bought boots, which was just make sure that they're black, because I don't want to be the person with white boots who's going to get tackled and sent up in the air when you play Sunday league. what should we actually be thinking about when we go purchase the boots? Like, is it the stud formation for soft ground boots? Is it the stud formation for firm ground boots? Is it a heel or an arch? Like, what's some of the things that we should actually like be trigger points to make us think, okay, I need to be eyeing up this kind of stuff instead of just color or comfort?
No, all really good questions. So it sort of goes without saying, if you're going to be playing on artificial grass, you should have, you know, a boot type that's suitable for that. The studs can really differ. If you're playing, you know, in wet, muddy conditions, you're obviously not going to be having a nice or a very shallow sort of, I suppose they're called, and I was sort of brushing up on the terminology. I don't know if you guys sort of use these, you know, the screw-ins versus the kind of the molded studs. You know, there's different, even within that, there's some nuance about conical versus triangular shapes. So the really aggressive, angular, really, this is probably not a good example here, but sort of shows yep. a little bit about, you know, and some of the Adidas boots are even more aggressive. They're almost like they call it a chevron type shape, where really sharp lines and really good if you're a really quick player. But the catch with that is it really bites hard into the ground and it doesn't really quite release so well. So that can lead to injuries, and, you know, ACLs are a big one within the women's football as well. So that can lend itself to injury.
How important is fit, Aaron? Because some people like to maybe have a little bit of room for maneuver while they're sort of running in their boots. Some people like to have them extremely tight. And then there's obviously other factors you have to consider, like potentially if you're wearing insoles and obviously thick socks, you might want to wear two pairs of socks for whatever reason, just because you give yourself that extra padding and comfort. Can you tell us about how, in terms of the fit of the boot, the important features to look at in that sense?
Yeah, look, so fit, that can be, you know, a whole host of information would go into what would be an appropriate fit. So a little bit different to running shoes, where typically, you know, a rule of thumb with the length, for example, might be, okay, we might look at half a size, you know, bigger than your, you know, at least half a thumb width of a room out the front of the shoe. Now that becomes quite different when we're talking about a sport like football, where there's lots of lateral movements. You know, we're going to add a thickened sock. Sometimes we're thinking, okay, we need like a slimline orthotic in there. So that all factors into, okay, do I make a decision to buy, you know, a boot that's slightly larger? Also, I've got a fairly wide forefoot, so I might need a certain model, and I've got some recommendations for some of the listeners if they want to sort of, for the wider feet. I know Kalichi, they don't want to give too much away, but I know Kalichi is having some struggles there. Confidentiality, of course. But
not anymore.
Sorry, man, I just outed you and the wide feet.
It's all right. I've been known to be a dry snitch as well. It's fine.
Now, look, Aaron. let's say our listeners are wanting, haven't been able to find a boot that fits them well. And I know that there are going to be so many people listening that have, you know, always had foot problems and aches and pains and ankle issues and
a lot of tendonitis as well.
Yeah, a lot of it probably due to not having the right fit or the right boot. What is the process for you as a semi-professional footballer or an amateur footballer, if you want to get the right footwear? They come in and see you. What's the first step?
Yeah, so they can definitely talk to a footwear professional like myself. So, you know, we look at the bigger picture around, okay, injury history, the general foot structure, shape, what the individual characteristics mean for choosing the right type of shoe, whether that be pre-season, where they're trying to ramp up some conditioning, and they're also trying to, you know, then adjust to wearing a boot as well. We can give recommendations based on that too. And, you know, I suppose maybe a podiatrist that has an interest in football would be very handy, because they're using the footwear themselves and they have an intricate knowledge of what's involved. You know, they might be sort of taste testing some of the latest and greatest in tech. And I think that's the thing too. Like, there's lots of trends within that, that, as I said, brand loyalty comes into that. And then even, you know, Nike recently with some of their shoes trying to, you know, change some of the positions of the studs, you know, I guess most sort of tend to have that kind of orientation or that sort of style. But, you know, Nike's sort of, I don't know if you've seen some of their stuff recently, but they're really changing and trying to, you know, help with some injuries in there as well. So we can give some recommendations based on that.
Is there any?
All right. Well, any more from one more from you, Kalichi, and then we'll let Aaron get back to his Monday evening.
We hinted at it earlier about talking about impact of the shoes that's kind of had in women's football and the injuries that it's had. Like, I know that it's still pretty new, but how important is that in that research that's coming out? Because we've got a ton of female listeners as well, and if this is something that they can do a little bit better to ensure that they're preventing serious injury, then we'd love to be able to help them.
Absolutely, it's a big issue because, you know, ACL injuries and just lower limb injuries affect females disproportionately. We know that much, and given the adoption of the sport and the popularity within you know, female soccer particularly, we're seeing a really high incidence of, you know, ACL injuries as well. So there's brands like Ida Sports. So they actually specifically make football boots for females. So generally speaking, females have got a wider 4 foot, quite a narrow heel, relatively speaking. And so they're actually made on lasts that are actually female specific, which is a bit of a game changer, because prior to that, a lot of footwear was basically made on, you know, predominantly male lasts, anatomical lasts. And then essentially for female shoes, they just, there's a term in the footwear world called shrinking it and pinking it. So that was essentially what was happening for a lot of female shoes. And unfortunately, you know, it wasn't really catering to their individual needs. So it's nice to know that brands are doing that. And certainly the bigger players, you know, Nike and Adidas are coming to the table and starting to produce shoes that are more appropriate for female athletes.
Well, thank you so much for joining us from the foot world, Aaron. We'll let you get back to it. But, yeah, always a pleasure to speak with yourself and anyone else from Peak Performance.
Yeah, pleasure to be on. Thanks for having me. And as I said, if anyone needs any help specifically choosing the right football boot or even just any lower limb injuries if you're a runner or footy player, more than happy to help. So come check us out at PPI.
All right, we will be back with part two after this. And hello again. We're back once more, and we're going to be heading down to Alfred Skeet Reserve, just around the corner from my humble abode here, where Armadale had a 2-2 draw with Bayswater, a bit of a thriller, and the new striker Chan Yelchin scored a double either side of Sammy Dway and Jackson Stephen goals for Bayswater, and both of them were very, shall we say, Channy on the spot, Tommy, just getting to that front post and tucking them away. Very similar goals, but it's what you want to see from a new striker, isn't it? Just getting in position and getting it into the back of the net.
Absolutely. We spoke about how interesting Armadale's young team is on the preview podcast, and they certainly showed glimpses that they're going to be just that this season. I loved Lucas Cook's game on the left-hand side, getting to the byline, pulling the ball across goal. Yes, it was very much a bundled-in type of finish from Yelchin for that first goal. But that's, as you say, Sean, that's where you want your striker. And we spoke about Armadale and how we liked what they did last season. We liked what Alan Vernals did. And the only question really was, where are they going to replace Chris Jackson's 17 goals? And Chan Yelchin, 2 goals off the mark. That'll do his confidence and his teammates' confidence a world of good, knowing they've got a real spearhead to aim for. The second goal as well, a pretty nicely worked set piece, obviously ball to the back post, a header back across goal, and then Yelchin again attacking that six-yard box and really putting the defenders on the back foot and not really sort of knowing where to guard and where to look around to defend. So I think a lot of exciting signs for Armadale going forward, and it'll be interesting to see how they fare over the next few weeks of the season. I think if you look at their fixtures now coming up, they've got an away trip to Fremantle City, which will be a bit of a buzz game for the newly promoted team, obviously their first home game in the NPL, and then they're away at Perth Red Star. So I suppose a tricky fixture on paper to start the season, but if they can come through those games with points, then I think they'll take a lot of confidence going forward.
What would you prefer to see, Kelechi, as a coach, if you've just got a new striker in? Would you rather he thunders one in from 30 yards or scores a bicycle kick from the penalty spot? Or do you want to see the miraculous, or do you just want him want to see what Chan did on the weekend and just getting in the right spot, something that you know he can replicate over and over again, whereas maybe the miraculous isn't as replicable?
No, 100%. And I think it really goes into what Alan Vernal's team performances. That first goal in particular, I spoke to him at the start of the season and asked, look, what does an Alan Vernal's goal look like? And you could see it in the build-up play all the way through the center halves, long ball into the channel that's controlled, it's brought back, another switch of play, overlapping fullback, and your strikers are at the near post. And like, you could draw that up 100 times. And if you see that, then you know, boys, this is our break glass, this is our emergency. Whenever we need to score, we can do that. So it's superb for him, Chan Yao Chan, to do that. It's superb for the team as well. They showed a lot of character to go down 2-1 after being up and then to get that goal again to make it 2-2. And I also think you got to remember that it was a big game for Armadale and the entire Armadale committee. There was an individual there, I think his name was Willie, who had been a member and a fan of that team for a long time, and he passed away. And you know, a lot of times when you have that added pressure to do a performance, to try to, you know, do it for McGonagall, so to speak, it can not always end up the right way. And you can look at some instances last season where it was a big game or a big day and everyone turned up and the side didn't quite get the result. So they had all this added extra stuff that was going on there, and to get that result is huge for them. I also want to just kind of harp on from the Bayswater perspective that I mentioned this earlier, saying these are the games that you need to win. Like, if you are serious about winning the league, these are the games you need to win. You showed character to come back from 1-0 down. You went up 2-1, but within a minute and a half, you've conceded to make it back to 2-2. And that's the things that they need to cut out if they're going to win the league. And again, it'll be interesting to see how Bayswater score goals, because you can see that the Chan Yao Chan is really replicable. But from a Bayswater perspective, it was a moment of magic from Sammy Dway and a moment of magic from Jackson Stevenson as well.
Yeah, both absolutely fantastic goals. Check out the highlights if you haven't already. The other game to wrap up the NPL men's first week of action in 2024 was Inglewood 0, Perth Glory 1. Once again, check out the Full Time Whistle podcast where we talk more about that. But Daniel Jankoloski tipped home another little tip in front of the net, a Pierman in swinging free kick. And Kelechi, you're a 1-0 is plenty kind of
Love
guy.
It. Love it.
Perth Glory juniors have not been a 1-0 is plenty kind of team. We talked during the preseason.
Not enough 1-0 for them.
Whether this was a new Glory, and maybe this hints at we might not be getting as entertained or as excited. It might be a little bit more boring, but maybe they'll get a few more points on the board. What do you reckon?
It was so interesting listening to Steve Walmsley's interview, which you can check on our feed, by the way, where he talks about, this is exactly the type of game that we wanted. We're really pleased with that match. A lovely 1-0, nothing happens. You can tell that there's students of Robert Benitez there. I don't know how replicable this is for them throughout the rest of the season. I wasn't at the game. I couldn't get a proper idea of whether they dominated the ball or whether Inglewood dominated the ball, whether they played on the counter attack or whether they were very high position. So I couldn't be able to tell you that. But I think when they go up against teams with a bit more firepower, it'll be interesting to see how they manage those games, whether they decide to be a little bit more open and try to hit teams in the transition or whether they try to dominate play. Because I think the chaos kind of sort of helps them. Not too much chaos, but just enough chaos kind of sort of helps them. I'd be interested to see what you think, Tommy.
I do agree with you, but I think it's also a good attribute for them to have, to be able to almost switch that chaos on, for want of a better phrase. I think for them to have the prospects of climbing up the league table, they need to be sort of a little more tighter at the back. And the way that the Glory like to play football is by generally keeping the ball and playing some good stuff. And if you have a lot of the ball, then it's incumbent on the opposition to really make the most of the ball when they have less of the possession. So I think from a Glory perspective, I think that discipline is something, if they can add that to that game and maybe halve those goals that they conceded in season 2023, whilst it might not necessarily be quite enough for them to get into the top four, It might also be as well, given how tight the league has been historically. So I think a little bit like what we've said about Red Star in the past, in terms of last season and why we really like them, they were able to sort of alternate between being able to play on the transition, between being able to sort of really turn it on. Maybe not as chaotic as Perth Glory last season to that extent. But I think in this league in particular, if you've got the flexibility and the versatility to be able to play in multiple ways during games, I think that massively helps you in this league. And I think if Perth Glory can add that string to their bow, I think that's going to be a big help to them. And also just in general, to the development of their players as well.
Well, that is all the action recapped for you listeners from the Men's NPL Round 1. Before we let you go, we will just touch on a bit of breaking news in the Women's Night Series. It's just come through that Red Star and Subiaco are going to play their semi-final again this Wednesday after Red Star won the original match 4-2. But a player that was substituted, I'm guessing you guys might know who it was. Someone was substituted and then substituted back on. A lot of games are rotating subs in these leagues or in the night series, but I'm apparently the semi-final isn't. And no one realised, neither team realised. It seems like they didn't know the rule either side. It's a bit of a shambles, isn't it? What do you make of it, Tommy?
Worth clarifying that this is the Women's League Night Series final and not the Women's NPL Night Series final.
The State League. Yes. Okay. Yep.
So it is the State League. So the rules are obviously slightly different at that level as opposed to the NPL. I've only just sort of flagged this before we've gone on air tonight, so I've not had a chance to have a proper look into it, but I suppose just looking at it from a simple perspective, it's probably not ideal in pre-season to be having to play a game on Wednesday after backing up from the weekend and then obviously having to then go into a final on the weekend. So it'll be a short turnaround for whoever emerges out of that game going into the final against Fremantle City this weekend.
I just can't understand. Sorry, Kalichi, I'll throw it to you. I just can't understand how, either not informed or the officials
match official error.
Realize that they, match officials not taking record of the subs and saying, you've already come off and
so it was literally a match official error because the substitutions are allowed to happen in the group stage, but the substitutions aren't allowed to happen in the semi-final and the final stage. And so it's just that little bit that's probably an oversight. And like you said, neither teams knew. I don't think either teams complained. So on one hand, you've got to go, you need to be a little bit more informed about this. On the other hand, you go, well, credit to Football West for figuring it out and acting swiftly. But on the other hand, no one complained, guys. And I'm pretty sure both Red Star and Subiaco would be like, do we actually have to play another game? Like,
If I was Subi, I'd just be saying, look, I mean, it might be in the rules, but fair play. We didn't know. It seems outrageous for me. But anyway, it says here the winners will play Fremantle Football Club in the final this Saturday after they beat Perth Soccer Club at Dorrien Gardens on penalties. The final will be at the Samco Football Centre at 5 p.m. as part of a double header with the MPLW final between Balcatta and Red Star. You must be looking forward to that one, Mr. Dolman.
I won't be there, unfortunately, Sean, but I will be looking forward to checking it out. It's obviously Balcatta have been really aggressive with their recruitment in the off-season. They're a team that's going to make some waves in the league this season, without a doubt. And Red Star have managed to get themselves to another final. And they've got Caitlin Douglas this season, probably their biggest off-season recruit. And she scored a hat-trick in that semi-final. So she's going to be a big signing, playing against her former club as well. And, it should be a good one to catch up on.
Well, I think
you know who also won't be there, Tommy?
Sorry, Kalichi, you go on.
I'm pretty sure that one of the important coaching staff of Balcatta at some sort of like, I don't know, I think they might be best man or one of the groomsmen for a wedding that weekend. So, it's one of those ones where it's like, it's in the preseason. We're not too sure what the night series final might be. It might be a Friday. It might be a Sunday. It might be and yeah, now one of the coaching staff won't be there for the final.
Ah, well, it is what it is, as a great man once said. That is all for our first proper Perth Football Podcast regular season edition in 2024. It's great to have you guys back. I'm delighted to be back. I'm going to go get some more family time in before I pass out on a couch or the floor or somewhere. But, yeah, great to be back. And any more for any more before we hit that leave button?
Just confirm with me, did you have your own moment of the week?
No, because my beautiful baby girl was born 9 days ago, so she wasn't eligible to be in the Macron Moment of the Week. She is eligible and has won the Macron Newborn Baby of the Month award, though. So I'll throw that in there.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we've got a onesie coming through from Macron. It's in the mail, I'm sure.
Oh, fantastic! Thanks, John. Thanks, Macron. I'll head off and say goodbye from me.
Tommy,
goodbye from me.
And be careful and be kind, everybody. Look after yourselves.
Bye.
Must be the money.
Ching, ching.